Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, you're welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. There's so many wonderful things happening here at A Better Today. We've got programs, empowerment programs, empowered women centers, charity programs, scholarship programs. We've got programs, aside from this radio show, we've got programs running all over the United States and 46 other countries. The only thing we ask is that you share. Let people know what we're up to on the show. Let people know what we're doing, and let them know that there are some incredible people out there sharing empowerment, sharing strength, sharing wisdom, the tools that can inspire them to get out there and participate in this amazing world. Speaking of participating, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Never forget the power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there and make a difference. Don't just hope it. You got to, as Gandhi said, you got to be the change you wish to see. Get out there, and this is a participatory universe. Get out there and participate. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. It doesn't matter what you believe in. It doesn't matter who your God may or may not be. Get out there and participate. If I've learned anything, in this day and age, as so many people are embracing their spirituality, I think it's so beautiful. But don't think for a second that that means you need to turn your back on your humanity. One of the most spiritual things you can do is embrace your humanity. I often hear that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. I agree 100%. But don't forget to have that human experience. Get out there and participate. You'll find that we're not all that different, and we're all on the same team and in this together. Get out there. Get out there and participate. And when doing so, just know that there's people all over the world doing the same. We got a great show scheduled for you today. We'll talk a little bit with August Gold. She's the author of The Prayer Chest, a tale about the power of faith, community, and love. I'm excited to have her on the phone. We're having a little phone difficulties earlier. August, do I have you on?
I'm right here.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to Empowered Living Radio, and congrats on the book, The Prayer Chest.
Oh, thank you so much, man. That's so nice of you. Thank you for having me on your show.
No, this is fun, because when we talk about prayer and we talk about faith and community, it can get dry sometimes, and it can get dry, and not only that, but there's almost a dogma associated with it too. And so you decided to take this book and throw it in a touching tale, and really have the reader, while they're enjoying the story, also look at a different paradigm and story that we tell ourselves about prayer.
Yeah, you are so right. People think about prayer as some dusty old thing they do in emergency situations.
Right.
And they do it in a way that their parents did it and their parents before them. And what I wanted to do was help people understand that prayer is nothing more than a conversation that you're having with a power within yourself and beyond yourself. And it's meant to be done not by rote, as other people felt it down throughout the ages. It's meant to be done right from the place you're at, the moment of crisis, the moment of happiness, the moment of joy, the moment of confusion. Wherever you are in the moment is where you're invited to enter the conversation with life, because life's always having a conversation with you.
It's true. It's true what you're saying. And what I love about this conversation you're talking about is really about kind of what I said in the beginning of the show. It's about participating. We often, and I know I read in here, I love that you talk about the begging aspect of prayer, where we often think that here you are begging for something when instead it's so much deeper than that. The reason that prayer maybe gets so dogmatic and so dusty is that we think of it so one-dimensionally, and you really want to add depth to the idea that people take in prayer.
Nice. Yes. I want to add people back into the prayer so they don't feel so separate from, A, what they're praying to, because that's how we feel. We feel separated from what we're praying to, and what we don't realize is what we're praying to, we're praying from. We're praying from the center of our being into the center of all being. And that all beingness, which is everywhere around us, is always in conversation with us. This conversation's going on all the time. So what you say is so true. We're entering, we're participating in a conversation that's already happening. And we're always invited into that conversation.
Well, that's what's beautiful about it is that if you weren't participating in prayer yesterday or for the past 40 years of your life, it really doesn't matter.
It's
a conversation that you can join in at any time. So I want to talk about you for a minute. So what's your story? How did you get into writing this? And I read that you've been an inspirational speaker for over 20 years. How did you get into that? And what inspired you to help others do the same?
Well, I'll tell you first, I'll answer the first question first because it's just such an interesting story. My writing partner and creative partner for 10 years, Joel Fotinos, came to me one morning before I was about to do a Sunday morning service. And he said, I have had a dream last night, which is so unlike him. And the dream was I walked into a bookstore. And there I saw on a stand a book called The Prayer Chest with our names on it, having written it. So, of course, we had a really good laugh about that because that was ridiculous, that we were going to write a book together and it was going to be The Prayer Chest, and he saw it in his dream. Anyway, I went on to do the service that Sunday morning. I came home at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I sat down and started writing, and I didn't pick my head up from my computer until 1 in the morning. And for the next 6 weeks, I wrote the first draft of The Prayer Chest. I mean, as in, it poured out of me. His dream poured out of me. Isn't that wild?
I think that's fantastic. And what, while you're writing a book like this, and even if it's in one shot, how does your own perception of prayer, maybe even your own idea of what this universe may be, what God may be, your own role, I would imagine you'd have incredible shifts and insights and all those type of wonderful feelings and thoughts while you're writing something like this.
Well, truly. And what led me to it, what's interesting is I walked away from the religion of my childhood that I found at about 12 or 13 years old was just too harsh and critical and judgmental for me. And I'm not suggesting anybody do that. I'm saying for me, I discovered that the God of my parents' understanding and the faith I was born into was presented to me so harshly and so cold, and all your thoughts have to be accounted for, and you're judged heavily for everything you do, and there's sin, and there's hell, and there's punishment. I absolutely had to walk away from that because that wasn't making me feel either good about myself or enabling me to love myself or even feeling powerful about myself.
Right.
At about 21, 22, I had a spiritual awakening, just, and I am sure a lot of people do but don't talk about it, where I came to believe in a power greater than myself that dwelled in myself of my own understanding. I had my own experience with a God of my understanding. And from that moment to this one, I understood that all religions were born in the same place with one person's direct experience with the God of their understanding. And when I got that peace, that my direct experience was true for me and real for me and right for me, and I could go directly to my source, oh my God, that's when my life started rocking. That's when everything began for me. I came to life. Because I was no longer doing my life alone or doing my life with a power greater and separate than myself that frightened me, that caused me to be in fear for the judgment and punishment that I believed it wielded against me if I behaved wrongly. I was set free with a God of my understanding. And I think that's what this book and books like it are all about in story form, which is, when you have your own direct experience, and you know, perhaps you do know, the 12-step programs are all about a God of your own understanding. That's why they're probably the fastest growing spiritual movement in the world right now. Mm-hmm. Because of that third step, which says, find out for yourself. Call out to the spirit of life and see what answers, who answers. Go direct to the source within yourself and see what happens, and you are going to discover that there is a God of your understanding that is personal to you, universal to all, but personal to you, and it is life-altering. That's the conversation you're entering into. And that's why nobody else's prayers are going to work but your own, because it is coming direct from your immediate present moment, your present circumstances, your present life.
You know, and it makes so much sense. And so here you throw this together. What made you choose a parable? What made you go with the spiritual parable? Is it because it's the most effective way to convey this message without boring the readers, but instead actually keeping them pretty entertained?
Yes, I would say that's actually number one. That's really true, without boring them.
Yeah.
Number two, stories are universal. If I sit down and write a book about laws, I mean, that's very informative and intellectual, and people will understand what they're reading. But when you tell a story, people can enter the story because it enters their heart. They find themselves in the story. They become the character in the story, and they cannot help but be involved. And I'm not lecturing at somebody or telling somebody what to do or what I think they should do or what I did. I'm just saying, this is what happened to this one person. And you might find that if it worked for them, it might work for you if you try it. In fact, try it and see what happens. And I took the stories. The stories come from the last 20 years of working with people in counseling and having congregations and speaking nationally and internationally. From all the stories I've heard, this is where the body of people are moving towards a more direct experience with life, personally, not because some teacher told them so, but because they themselves are putting it to the test and finding out for themselves what works. And a story is a wonderfully heart-centered way to engage people. They bypass the critical mind that says, I don't know that I believe this. And they go right to the heart that says, wow, that feels kind of true. And then they try it for themselves.
Well, making it a spiritual parable helps you use language also that helps them bypass that critical thinking component of their brain and really just take it in as the idea of a new, again, a new paradigm, a way of looking at something.
Yes, that's true. And I believe that's what happened with the wonderful book, The Alchemist. Why, 20-something years later, that book is making, you know, its rounds as it did when it was written 20 years ago. It is still a vital and alive book, written as a parable about a man who goes on to seek his destiny. And it's as true then as it was today. So I agree with you. A story enables people to go past that place where the mind might say, I don't know, this doesn't seem like what I was raised to believe. And it puts people in their immediate present moment saying, what if I tried it myself and saw what happened? I have nothing to lose. And when it comes to prayer, most people don't. Because I would say across the board, I don't care what anybody says, in times of trouble, in times of need, people turn to prayer. It's universal. It's human. We all do. But we have 1,000 questions about, are my prayers answered? That's where most people live, is in the confusion of, should I pray? Who do I pray to? What do I pray about? Are my prayers answered? It's an area that we all take part in, but nobody ever really feels confident with what they have learned about prayer.
Well, that's exactly right, and because you don't learn about prayer in school. You don't learn about prayer with your friends. You learn it in the context of whatever dogma, really, religious dogma that you're brought up in. If you're not brought up in some sort of dogmatic religion, you're not going to learn prayer early.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be brought up, and it's really the process of books like this. It becomes an unlearning. It's that saying, it's not what you don't know that stops you. Sometimes it's what you know or think you know that actually stops you. And this is one of these things, is prayer, where you learn it in a certain dogmatic sense, and it really is it serves the purpose of the institution. It serves their purpose, but not yours so much. Can somebody read this book, The Prayer Chest? And folks, we're speaking with August Gold. She's the co-writer of the book, The Prayer Chest. Her website is augustgold.net. That's augustgold.net. Can somebody read this Prayer Chest book and really still stick with their whatever religion they go, still go to their churches every Saturday, Sunday, whatever, Monday, Wednesday, whenever they go, and be able to apply this paradigm of prayer? This doesn't mean they have to leave their religion. It's just an actual more empowered way of looking at prayer, right?
That's perfectly put. They don't have to leave anything. In fact, you can be a person in your religion, and you can be a person with no religion.
Right.
You can be a believer or a non-believer, and the book will still apply, because it is about, and you use the word, and it is just such a perfect word, which is, it's about the participatory experience of prayer, of letting prayer be a conversation, and let the answer of prayer move through you, the opening that is you. Because most of the time we think prayer happens outside of ourselves, over there. When in fact, prayers can only be answered when we open ourselves and allow ourselves to let them move through us. We need to be open to receive them and allow them to change us and change our lives. As opposed to, we don't participate, it happens on the outside of us and we wait to watch other things around us change. Prayers are answered. And we are the ones who are changed. The ones who pray are the ones who are being changed. And that answer comes through our heart. That's the doorway between heaven and earth, as it were, and I use the word heaven in quotes, is to make the ideal real, or to have your prayer answered. You need to open yourself, open your heart, and let the prayer come through you. That's what makes this book radically different. Because we were taught to sit down and pray for something outside of ourselves to happen.
It makes listening vital.
It makes
it a vital component.
Totally. Totally.
Powerful stuff. Folks, again, we're speaking with August Gold. She's the author of The Prayer Chest, a tale about the power of faith, community, and love. Her website is augustgold.net. That's augustgold.net. If you're listening through our website, you can just click on August's name. It'll take you right to augustgold.net. Also make sure that if she has a contact on there, say, hey, what's up? I heard you on the show.
That'd be great. I welcome that. And also on the front page of the site, if they scroll down to the bottom, there are some free talks. and one is called The Hero's Journey. And they are so free to listen to that. It's available. It's open to everyone because it's about the very things you're talking about today, that, as you say, the participatory experience we have when we enter a conversation with life. It's called The Hero's Journey. It's free.
Fantastic. And you talk about the power of faith, community, and love. Let's talk about community and how it seems you know, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we can text, we can do all that, but yet it seems that the sense of community gets dispersed, even though on your computer it may be getting bigger. The sense of it in your life gets smaller. How important is it that we do reconnect with our community?
Well, what's interesting about prayer is we think we are praying for ourselves, but what actually happens is when we open to receive and we let the prayers be answered through us, and as you said, listening is vital, not just the speaking part of the prayer, but the lion's share of having our prayers answered is about listening and about welcoming everything that comes after we put our prayer out. We discover that prayer ends up connecting us to a community far greater than the one we have. It always takes us out of ourselves. It always opens us to other people in the community. And the answers to the prayers often include other people other than ourselves. So it's a connector. That's how you know a prayer has been answered, because you're ending up being connected to your community, to people in your communities, in ways that you would never have imagined your isolated prayer would have been answered.
And do you discuss in this book how important it is to recognize that maybe that your prayer gets answered, but not necessarily in the way that you thought or would even like it to be answered?
Man, you just said a mouthful. We have an image of what we pray for, and part of the illusion is it's going to look exactly what we want it to look like, meaning this wonderful thing or this wonderful person's going to manifest and it's going to come into our life, and we're going to be the same person, only more famous, more happy, more this or more that. And what's interesting about one of the most important tenets of praying, if I even use this word rightly, or praying so that your prayers are answered, is that you need to welcome that which is brought into your life after you put your prayer out there into the universe or out there into the ethers. And that is because oftentimes things need to be removed from our life that we have outgrown. Sometimes people, sometimes a relationship, sometimes partners, sometimes apartments, sometimes jobs. The very things we are praying for are on the other side of the smaller things in our life we're grasping onto for fear of letting them go, even though we've outgrown them. So what people do is they think their prayer isn't being answered when something, quote unquote, adverse happens to them, when in fact life needs to remove that which stands in the way of our prayer being answered. So that's a rule of thumb to help people that's very helpful for them and was for me, is that your prayer is answered in two ways. Either you receive very simply what it is you prayed for, or you will receive that which stands in the way of your prayer being answered. And one of the things we forget is that when we pray for more of something, the way those prayers are answered, the way our soul hears them, is not, I want more this. What our soul hears is, I want to be more in order to have more, because you can't have more of anything unless you become more, or else you won't be able to hold it. So it's almost as if when your prayer goes mm-hmm. out for anything with the word more in it, you can rest assured that life's going to come in and grow you into the size you need to be to hold that bigger life you're praying for. And these are things we forget. We think the answer is going to just come and fit neatly into the life we have. But if we're praying for anything more, our life is already too small. We need to be enlarged, and life comes and enlarges us. so that we can then be the proper size to hold the greater life we're praying for. So when you say it doesn't look like what we think, oh my God, that's such an understatement. It often doesn't. That's why we need to welcome everything. Once we put the prayer out, it's essential. We welcome everything that comes as part and parcel of the answer to the prayer. And that's where, you know, a lot of people throw in the towel and say, you see, this isn't working. I asked for this and I got this, and they don't realize that this that they got is actually part of the answer of their prayer. And they throw in the towel way too soon.
Great stuff, August. Hey, folks, we're having a great conversation with August Gold. She's the author of The Prayer Chest, a tale about the power of faith, community, and love. Her website is augustgold.net. That's augustgold.net. We're going to take a quick break. Hey, August, stick around a couple more minutes, and we'll take some feedback from the listeners.
Terrific.
Awesome. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. We come back, we'll get some feedback. Feedback's at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also feedback through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. We're talking to August Gold. We'll be right back. Don't move.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
You are beautiful. Your beauty, just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success, is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true. The scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
That thing you got behind you is amazing. I don't think I got it, something needs no fish. The way that body's pumping, definitely makes sense.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Hey, make sure you check out our website, thebettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and every single show we have ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Check it out. Listen, we got over 1,000 hours of seminars, radio shows, conversations with today's great thinkers and communicators, some interesting topics, some powerful topics, inspiration, motivation, you name it, it's on there. 100% free. The only thing we ask is that you share. Tell other people about what we're doing. Tell other people about empoweredlivingradio.com. Tell other people about our great guests like August Gold and augustgold.net. Tell them about books like The Prayer Chest. Share, share, share. You know, when you're forwarding those emails of a cat playing the piano on YouTube, why don't you include a link to this show or to a book, an inspirational book or something? That's a simple link like that could absolutely change somebody's life. So thank you so much, everybody, for participating, for sharing, and don't ever, ever stop. And thank you so much. So we're having a great conversation with August Gold. August is the author of The Prayer Chest, A Tale About the Power of Faith, Community, and Love. The website is augustgold.net, and we're gonna take some feedback. Let's start with Judy. Judy is in North Platte, Nebraska, and Judy writes, "Hey Steve, interesting conversation today. I was curious if August was ever in some sort of 12-step program or she had some sort of traumatic experience in her life that really had her turn to prayer." And if so, has she ever been frustrated feeling that her prayers have not been answered? Thank you in advance.
Oh, great questions. Thank you. It's Judy, right?
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Judy, for writing in, for taking a moment to do so. I will tell you that the spiritual awakening I had, there's a song that says, when something happens to you, when you awaken to your deeper self, it's a quiet thing. We always think it's a big flashy deal, but oftentimes it's a quiet thing. I was actually sitting I was living in Maryland in graduate school at the time, and I was sitting reading a newspaper account of a woman whose small plane went down, her and the seven other passengers, among whom was her dad, in the waters in the Caribbean. And she's in the water. It's the middle of the night. I'm sure there were sharks there. That's surely what she thought. She lost touch with her dad. She couldn't see him or hear him and the pilot. So she's ostensibly alone. And she does something she's never done before. She prays. And she prays for 10 minutes of strength to tread water. And her prayer is answered. 10 minutes later, she prays for 10 more minutes of strength to tread water, and her prayer is answered. And that's the way she made it through the evening till she got to the morning, saw the light, headed towards shore, and there was reunited with her dad who survived. My awakening came in that moment when I piggybacked on her faith. And I said, if it's true for her, it can be true for me. And in that silent, quiet moment was when my life turned around. I didn't even have my own faith. It was hers. But I piggybacked onto hers long enough until I had my own. And the second question you had was really beautiful, which was, have I ever grappled with not having a prayer answered? And here's the thing about not having a prayer answered. It is oftentimes not answered in the time frame that we think. So we assume it's not being answered. But when I open myself up to the God's time or life's time, in the timing of grace itself, I discover that my prayer was indeed answered, nothing like I imagined it would be, because I am the person who changed so much that original prayer I asked for was way too small. I no longer pray to have an illness removed. My prayer, and I've ended up in the hospital a couple of times, actually, with odd illnesses that doctors could not necessarily necessarily understand. And the prayer wasn't get rid of this illness, shrink this problem. The prayer was grow me. And that's one of the things I've learned through working with prayer as seriously as I have, is we often turn to prayer to shrink a problem, when what the true prayer that's answered is grow me bigger than the problem, so I will see the problem for what it is. Not a 911, a crisis that I think it is, but a 411, which is a call for information that I actually need in order to grow myself and let life grow me. And was I ever in a 12-step program? Yes, I was. I was in Al-Anon, and I loved every single day of it. It helped me so much. Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you so much. In Nebraska, we're speaking with August Gold. She's the author of The Prayer Chest, a tale about the power of faith, community, and love. Her website is augustgold.net. A few different people asking if you travel, do lectures, workshops, what you're up to as far as that.
Yeah, what I'm up to right now is I'm in New York City. On Monday nights, I do something called Happy Hour, which is open to the community. Instead of working just on Sunday mornings, which is where I used to do the music and the message every Sunday morning in New York City, we decided to bring the message outside of the Sunday morning walls and bring it to everybody, people who go to church, don't go to church, never been to church, or never want to be, but want a message of depth and spirituality, something to take them into a way of life that works. So we found a place, believe it or not, at Lincoln Center. It's the YMCA at Lincoln Center. We got a beautiful room there. We call it Happy Hour. And for now, we're just about outgrowing that room, so we probably will be moving in the next 90 days. But for now, we're at the Lincoln Center YMCA, the Westside YMCA, from 6:30 to 7:30. And that's where we talk about a way of life that works.
Now, is that when you say we talk about, you're heading those, or is it a group of you?
And we also have entertainment. So for an hour you come, and it's a message, and it's also music.
Oh, that's fun. Oh,
yeah,
that's a lot of fun.
And that's the idea. It is fun. It's right after work, so you just pop in, and for 1 hour you just really let yourself be inspired and then go back out into your life. But with a deeper way of connecting to yourself and your life that brings a lot more happiness and meaning to your life.
Let's go with Randy's in San Antonio, Texas. And Randy writes, hey, Steve, could you ask her, she kind of touched on it, but could you ask her a deeper description of how her belief or idea of God has changed throughout the years, and how she suggests we teach our children these ideas without getting them stuck in the dogma of religious?
Hear, hear. Who wrote that?
Randy in San Antonio.
Randy. Hey, Randy. Thanks for writing in. Very much appreciated. My goddaughter many years ago asked me a question. I was sitting at brunch, and the two other people I was sitting at brunch with, including my goddaughter, who was two, the other two people were ministers. Okay, so here are three spiritual people sitting at a table, and my goddaughter asked this question, where is God? We spent the next 20 minutes trying to answer this question to her satisfaction, and none of us could do it. We realized she kept asking the question because we weren't giving her a satisfactory answer of where is God. And she was raised by spiritual parents who didn't give her any dogma, any religion at all. They just allowed her to be in life and let life reveal itself to what it is to her. So I went away. 3 months after that, I went on a retreat over Christmas and New Year's to the mountains, and I wrote a book called Where Does God Live? It was followed by two more children's books, which is Does God Hear Our Prayer? And Does God Forgive Me? And it became a children's series that is still selling quite well all these years later, and who's buying them but parents who I thought would be parents just of a spiritual persuasion. But as it turns out, it has swept across the interfaith movement and parents of all religions, and bookstores of all persuasions are buying the book, Where Does God Live? because it enables parents to help their children understand in a concrete way with pictures where God lives. And the answer is everywhere and in and beyond all things, everywhere we look. So how has my attitude and my life changed? The deeper my relationship with Spirit, the more time I spend in conversation, in prayer, in chanting, in thinking of God, in speaking to God, in befriending God, making God real, the deeper and more meaningful my life gets. The less I feel alone, the stronger my faith, the more I grow. And it's not that things don't happen to stump you or unexpected things stop you dead in your tracks. It's not like life is strewn with a bed of roses. It's that you understand that everything that happens to you, and this is my understanding, if anything, it is my most sophisticated understanding over the years has led me here, that everything that happens to me happens for me. That everything that happens to us happens for us. That's the conversation. And I would pretty much say that's been my teaching for 20 years, that life is a conversation about our growth and a movement toward our wholeness. And it takes away the fear, the uh-oh factor of, uh-oh, what's going to happen, when we know that all of life is a movement toward our wholeness, towards our growth. And it's happening for us, not to us. But check it out, Skylight Paths, Where Does God Live? If you have children, it won the Independent Publishers Association Award the year it came out because it was so different than anything else on the market at the time.
Folks, and again, what a great conversation we just had with August Gold. She's the author of The Prayer Chest, a tale about the power of faith, community, and love. Her website is augustgold.net. August, congratulations on another fantastic book, and thank you so much for sharing your insights and wisdom with our listeners.
Oh, you're a doll. Ask me back anytime, and I'll say, yeah, it was wonderful talking with you.
Oh, thank you so much, folks. And again, I want to make sure that you check out augustgold.net. The name of the book is The Prayer Chest, a tale about the power of faith, community, and love. The website is augustgold.net. All right, so stretch a little bit here, and let's finish up this show strong. Again, thank you so much, folks, for your feedback, for listening. For those of you who love these kind of shows and the kind of guests, thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for sharing and letting other people know about our guests. And again, feedback. You could kill it. Still, we got a little bit of time. If you want to send in some feedback today, well, Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. And you can also feedback through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. And let's keep going. Hey, Meg. Meg's in New Hampshire. And Meg asks me, If I believe in prayer and the power of prayer, and not in the conventional dogmatic sense. No, I believe that it's good for you. My personal belief, Meg, is that the prayer is inward communication with yourself. While action, you all mean action is that outward conversation with God, outward conversation with the way that this universe actually works. So I believe that my life is a prayer. I believe that the actions I take are in fact my prayer, and that's how I believe. I know that anytime I clasp my hands and I'm speaking, it might be to maintain my own clarity. Structurally in your DNA, it's actually something that lessens blood flow to the amygdala, so it actually does make you physically feel better. But I believe that action is the greatest prayer. The greatest prayer you could say is a prayer of action, and get out there and do it. And that's how I've always been, and I believe that the best prayer is one that you do, not one that you say. And so thank you, Meg, for writing in. You know, you know, it's so interesting when you talk about prayer. And you talk about how impactful it is, and how different it is from culture to culture to religion to religion. I mean, the depth of prayer and the understanding of prayer is tremendous. I think that look at it in your own life and look and see what kind of prayer has worked for you, what prayer has done for you, and without being bitter or overly, you know, la-la about it, really take a look at what kind of prayer works for you and how this works and make the adjustments accordingly. The beautiful thing about life and the beautiful thing about the way that we go about life is that it's only fixed and dogmatic if we say it is. You can change and adjust every single day if you'd like. If you can change and test and adjust and tweak, and you can do all kinds of things in your life every single day. That's what life is. Life, you wake up with this immeasurable, innumerable amount of choice points and potentiality, and you decide how many of those stay alive. Most people, if they wake up with that same crap, different day mentality, you're murdering the potentiality of your day. Each choice point that comes before you, you're just killing it, as opposed to appreciating it and choosing it and saying, oh, wait a second. I can tweak the way that I do things. I could tweak the way that I say my prayer. I could tweak the way that I do my prayer. I can tweak the way that I participate in my dream or my goal. I can tweak these things. And I think that that's a tremendous thing that most people miss out on. Most people miss out on that kind of stuff, recognizing and understanding the power that you have in your day to make today as different from yesterday as you choose. That to me is a tremendous power. It gives you full swing as an artist. It gives you full power as an artist, as the artist of your life, as the architect of your life, as the author of your life. However the heck you want to say it, you have that power to the degree that you accept that power. And if you accept it, then amazing things are going to happen in your life because you make them happy. If you don't accept it, you're going to feel stuck and in a rut. And that's most people who are stuck and in a rut. They feel that they don't accept the power and potentiality they have in their life, and they turn to things outside of themselves. And that anytime you turn to something outside of yourself to change something inside of yourself, that's going to lead to frustration because you're giving the power to something that can't possibly do what you need it to do. That's how it all works, folks. I hope you enjoyed this show. It's time for you to get out there and participate in your day. Get out there and participate in your journey. Get out there and love and hug and forgive and thank and be grateful. And get out there and participate in this amazing journey that is life. Enjoy and surround yourself with the synchronicities of life. Enjoy and surround yourself with all the things that you have to be grateful for, good friends. Hey, shout out to Jim Fargiano. Got a message from him. There are no coincidences. There are only synchronicities. Jim is saying, hey, you know, hey, great guest. I was just writing about prayer for tomorrow's blog, and I tuned into the show. And so no coincidences, only synchronicities. Big shout out to Jim. And everyone else listening, thank you so much for being such a wonderful community of people who are dedicated to sharing and inspiring others. Folks, you inspire me like you can't imagine. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. Make sure you check out Empowered Living Radio. We will soon be updating with new shows and new topics and some guests. And it's we're going to continue doing what we're doing. I know that where the upcoming shows hasn't really been updated. I think there might be one or two left on there. Don't worry, we have a whole new schedule of shows coming up. The show keeps going. We won't stop, not until our last breath, baby. Get out there and make a difference. Get out and grab this life because it's your life. You write the story. get out there and do it. And when you're doing it, don't forget this New Yorker loves you. Check out our websites, abettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. See you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.